Survivor Specialist Phil and Will are back, and we are recapping an epic blindside air quotes on Survivor 47, episode number 6. Rome is gone. Sad days for us here.
Rome has fallen.
Rome has fallen. Jim Rome is burning, right? I'm honestly a little flabbergasted as to how they just edited that episode. That was pretty damn epic, and we haven't gotten a roast episode like that in a while. And I'm going to be honest, like, Rome is so polarizing. I tweeted out, how can you not love him after this sitting in Jeff's chair thing? And I got more people being like, did you not see this? Did you not see that? I'm like, all right, like, take it easy. I don't think Rome could have asked for a better exit episode than what he just got tonight.
Yeah, I think polarizing is a good word. And I think some people can look at Rome and be like, wow, he's stirring the pot. He's playing hard. He's playing aggressively. He's over the top. That's entertaining, good TV. And then some people can be like, that gameplay, I don't enjoy watching it. If I'm playing, I wouldn't enjoy playing with it. And honestly, that's why he got voted out, because he was playing too aggressively and the players did not want to play Survivor with him. And I think that is how a lot of the fan base feels. It's probably about how maybe it's half and half. I don't know. I don't know what the polling is. Half half.
I think Rome in the Rob's fact checker always puts out popularity polls. And Rome was down at like 60% dislike. So,
okay. I mean, 60-40, that is not it's crazy.
Dislike. And then it was like 20% are neutral and then 10% like and 10% love. Okay. So it wasn't.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It was more layers, but
yeah, that was a unique episode. I mean, you're right. We don't get those episodes that often, especially as a merge episode. I mean, The merge is built up to be this huge monumental vote where you need to get on the right side. There's so many names being tossed around. You can't keep your head on straight. And this was like, wait, there's only one name being tossed around. Like even Sam was like, wait, we need to toss out like another name here. Like it can't just be this easy. It can't just be we toss out Rome and then Rome obviously tosses out Saul, but like this was about as cut and dry as a vote there's been. I mean, the editors and producers did not make any attempt whatsoever to even toss out another outcome happening. I kept waiting for it, especially the way this season's been going, where, you know, the whole pre-merge felt like, man, Rome is being way too cocky, way too aggressive. Confessional saying he's the mastermind, but yet somehow, some way he survives each week. And so now I was kind of expecting, like, all right, when's the other shoe going to drop? Like, when is the secondary plan going to form? And it never happened. It never came to be. I've heard some people in the chat. I read one comment like this was like the worst, most boring merge episode of all time, or maybe just the new era. And some people saying this was like their favorite tribal council ever with Rome sitting in judge chair. So like, I feel like people are polarized and split on how they enjoyed this episode. I will put this out there though. I appreciate we did something different, but my theory on this, why it was Rome and why that was the only plan that anyone wanted to go for, is because we did a new mergatory this time. I honestly believe, Phil, if we have an original mergatory, Rome doesn't go home. Because what you have, and this has happened in the new era, is you have some sort of consensus vote or plan, but then you have 6 or 7 people who have immunity. And they're like, well, maybe I don't want Rome to go home. Like, does Rome going home benefit my game? Or if I keep Rome in the game, will he be a shield? Will he continue to be a target? We saw that with Q last season, how like the Q is always the decoy vote. And we kept subverting him actually going home because people had other plans. They were doing plans behind the scenes. I mean, how often in season 43 did Jesse get a plan and say, actually, that doesn't work for me? I think here, because you have 13 people and 12 are at risk out of 13, people are like, oh, it's Rome? Good. That's it. That's done. I do honestly believe it is this vote being so straightforward as it is. One, it's a combination of Rome being who Rome is. But I really do think, when you have that many people vulnerable in a group, and we've seen New Era Survivor play out, and it's dangerous, and it's beware, it's risky, it's all that. It's like you get a name everyone can get on board with. There's no reason for anyone there to rock the boat because they are all vulnerable, except for Kyle. But is Kyle really going to put like a master plan to
He hates Rome.
Rome was number one enemy. So like that to me is my big takeaway, that I like that we mixed it up, but it might have been the cause of why this boot was so straightforward and that the editors had nothing even to like tease us with of something else happening.
So Mr. Manny here says Rome was on that losing tribe though, but I do agree with what you're saying. The thing is, people weren't willing to stick their neck out. Like Teeny.
Well, no, yeah, no, it doesn't matter which tribe Rome was on here. Even well, if Rome's okay, first of all, if Rome is on the six or seven that become immune, then we have to figure something else out. We scramble, we probably have multiple names. It's probably a really exciting boot. But even if Rome is on the losing tribe, which he was. The people who are safe, if you have six or seven people, you had seven people safe, six plus Genevieve, all safe. One of them or multiple of them could get together and say, is this the best idea? Why don't we take the game into our own hands?
There we go. And now the Byzantine Empire. Rome is gone. That's it. See you later. Thank you, Patrick.
On to the next one.
For the super chat. Yeah, no. The other problem was, I know that last week we were talking about how Rome was like very emotional and very happy that they didn't have to vote somebody out and that he was happy with it and he wanted to move forward. He wanted to find an alliance, all of that. He had no number one. And that's why I think the edit early on when it was like Genevieve and Rome are kind of close. And we hear Teeny saying that and Saul saying that they weren't like there really wasn't much between Genevieve and Rome. Rome didn't have anybody who was willing to stick his neck completely out for him.
Right.
And so when his name started coming up, also, like, I don't know if Teeny's on this planet right now after how drunk she got at that. That was incredible. When she, what was the line? I'm going to need a buddy or something like that. And then she's just drinking from the bottle. And we see back at camp.
They were really hinting. Yeah. They kept kind of letting us know Teeny got quite.
Teeny was quite hammered. And I love that because Teeny let her guard down, which is fun to see. I like when we get to see the real human side of the survivor players. And Teeny just said, screw it. I don't even know if Teeny meant to drink that much, but you get on Survivor when you're not eating and stuff, it starts to hit really, really quickly. And Teeny got hit. So one of Rome's closest allies, air quotes, wasn't even on the planet to really help him out in any way.
Yeah, and I don't know if I don't know if there was anyone that really would have been like, Rome's my number one ally. I want to take out or I want to save Rome. It's more about I want to take the game into my own hands and not go along with the group. And if there's someone better to take out that is a threat to your game individually, like Sue's got all these targets. She wants to take out Tiana. She wants to take out Kyle. So imagine if Sue is safe, maybe she cooks something up. And I'm not saying it would have happened for sure, but there was no chance that anyone was going to stick their neck out and say, I want to go along with a different plan or put forth a different plan than the status quo of everyone putting votes on Rome. There was no chance it was going to happen with the way this merger is formatted.
Mm-hmm. No, I totally agree. I totally agree. So Rome would have been better off in 46 or 45 or something, because I think you're right. People would have looked at him and said, that's a good shield. He's a great
yeah.
shield.
I mean, look what happened with Q. Look what happened with Q last season. What, we went five straight episodes with the whole group thinking Q was going home, only to have someone with an idol not play it and go home? And I know Survivor overuses the word blindside like crazy when they aren't really blindsided sometimes, but you have people objectively getting blindsided because they had idols in their pockets. Like if they knew they were going home, like those were blindsides.
And Rome was blindsided tonight. Rome had no idea this was coming.
No, Rome did not know. I thought something might be like, I thought we'd flash back. He found an advantage or just because the way this season was going. And then once he sat in the chair, I was like, okay, that's the moment we're building up to. Like the suspense of this is gone. Like there's nothing really that can be played or changed. And it's just an ode to how absurd this character was. So that's Rome, everybody.
I also think like, so let's throw this up here. Cool Shots 77. Again, thanks for super chat. No one should ever sit in Jeff's seat. Were you shocked that Jeff let this go down?
I'm not that shocked. Because don't you think in the back of Jeff's mind, he's like, first time in Survivor history, a player has sat in the hosted chair. Like,
article tomorrow is going to be all about this. There's no doubt about it.
There's a lens that Jeff appreciates the show through, and that's definitely part of that lens, where it's like, how can we make this show different and unique, even though we're in our 47th season? In allowing a player to sit down in his chair is something that we haven't seen before in the previous 46 seasons. So why wouldn't Jeff love that? Why wouldn't Jeff allow that?
And then my next question to you is, Rome was listening to us before he went out there, huh? Because he got that hug damn well knowing he was doing
I wonder the most
purposeful one we've ever had in the history.
We'll have to ask Ro. I forgot about that. Yes. Oh,
that
my gosh.
Was purposeful. Okay. I've seen a lot of hugs on Survivor. Troy Zan hugged Jeff in his season and he was listening to us and he was like, I don't know why that was a big deal. I think Rome went in for the hug and I respect the hell out of that. I think he did this on purpose.
In that moment, he just got blindsided. He just got completely bamboozled. We saw how Annika reacted last week. And, you know, Kelly has even said, Kelly from 45 has said, like, she blacked out when she said, what the hell, guys? And I think players are in this state. If he's able to, in that state of mind, be like, oh, yeah, the specialists have a prop bet game where their listeners and viewers submit prop bets on who's going to hug Jeff. I better hug Jeff. So I can think there's, I would be very surprised, Phil.
Dude, all I'm saying is this. Rome definitely went out there wanting to hit every single thing in the Survivor community, right?
He did. What happened to the four individual immunity?
Well, he didn't get to that part. That's not his fault. He didn't even have a chance to compete in the individual portion of a game. But
that wasn't his fault. I think that was kind of his fault.
Well, it was definitely his fault. We'll talk about the challenge in a second. But I just have to say, like, he realizes he's not making the merge. He's not winning his four things. Maybe at this last second, he's like, I need a hug. I got to make sure I at least get that. I don't know, man. I'm just saying he followed us pretty closely. Andy Vogel, thank you. 100% we'll do that. And then he also it was abundantly his fault. This was entertaining. I just think through 47, through six episodes, I'm so thoroughly entertained by this season. And even in one of the most obvious boots we've ever seen, somebody's comparing it to Roger Sexton from Amazon, where it was just a pile on and Roger didn't see it coming, but everybody else did. Although Roger, Rome, I think they're two different people there. But
and the show is in a different place back then. I feel like so many votes back then were like, yeah, we got to get this guy out.
Roger,
they go to tribal council and everyone votes them out. And they're like the shock value of who's going home. That wasn't necessarily like paramount.
I think it's more of how the show dragged them, because they dragged Roger because they were getting into like the things he was saying about the women and all of that. So they were really dragging Chris Noble, Drew Christie. It's the way they drag the players more so than even it just being a
right.
And he was, Rome was dragged, but again, I think Rome is probably watching this episode going, hell yeah. Like, I love that.
Rome was dragged almost the entire season.
Yeah. Yeah. Now that we know the result, we know that it was mostly dragging. Yes. Yes, but I'm entertained. I've loved it so far. Let's first like the video, subscribe to the channel. Got that out of the way. Thank you,
Patreon. All that, yep.
Specialist. We recorded all of our Guatemala stuff, so Guatemala coming all the way through here. If you want to go watch that. Anyway, let's get into some of this, the new twists in this game. First, we get all of them going to the same beach, and there's a sign there that just says there's an advantage somewhere. Go find it. What do you think?
I liked it more once it was clear that whoever found the advantage was going to have to get to skip a portion of the challenge. I found that to be a worthy advantage in that it was fair and they actually got the food reward. To me, though, and this is, I don't know if it's ever been that fun or interesting to watch people do a scavenger hunt. We've gotten so many iterations of this, especially in the new era and late into the 30s, where it's like there's something in the camp and they have to run around and find it. And we get the same confessional. It's a whole forest. Look at all these trees. It could be anywhere. It's a needle in the haystack. We see this when they're looking for idols too. So it's like, it's just like people looking in the woods for stuff. I don't know why it's such a big part of Survivor now when it's not that compelling. It's been a part of the show now for, over 10 seasons, maybe more. And I'm not just talking about looking for idols. There's just been so many iterations of there's an advantage somewhere and it's an advantage at a challenge. We see that in a lot of finales recently, but I'm okay with it. I'm okay with it more that it played out in the format of this, like two tribes, one person safe. And I actually liked it. It was just a buoy in the water and that was kind of funny. So I didn't totally hate it. It's just like, how many times do we need to see the same scene?
See, but here's the funniest part of this episode. Oh, yeah, don't worry about that buoy. What? Like, what? There's a red buoy floating in the water. And you're just like, oh, yeah, it wouldn't possibly be that. I don't understand. I know that there's buoys around because they don't want them like swimming out to like certain areas and stuff like that. But like, why would you not go explore that a little bit to make sure? That doesn't make sense to me. It feels like just like, what else are you doing?
Yeah, I mean, I can. The Genevieve and Sam both have not been on that beach for more than like maybe 10 minutes at that point, or hey, maybe been longer. But guess what? That's not their beach. That's not the place they've ever been before. So for them to assume that that buoy is the advantage out in plain sight when it says it's hidden somewhere on the beach, I think the clue said it's hidden somewhere on the beach. Maybe get the exact wording, but like
it's hidden somewhere.
It's hidden somewhere.
It's somewhere.
Okay. I mean, still, I get why they would think, especially, you know, the players are boated around the tribal councils and challenges, and they do have like blackout boats where they're like, you're seated below, but like, there are buoys out there. It's a pretty common thing to see, and they're brand new to this beach. Like,
so don't,
I don't hold that against them. If I was on the blue tribe, like if it was Sue, Gabe, Kyle, Tiana, Caroline, and they see them and like, oh, that's probably where like one of their boats is like, I don't know, just anchoring or something, I would give them flack. But because it was Genevieve and Sam, they hadn't been there, and you know.
Gordon Holmes brought up a great point. He said, is it kind of unfair that they went to this beach and
obvious. Captain Obvious says it looks so obvious.
He asked the question of, was it unfair that they hid this at this beach where five people had been living for so long that they knew what was usual at this beach and what wasn't? Because like you just said, they all would have noticed that buoy hasn't always been there if it hasn't always been there. So is that a little bit of an unfair advantage? Are you surprised?
I think that's just how it goes. Like they wanted to hide it out in the water. That's where they wanted it. It's, you know, I think Sue, Caroline, any of the blue tribe people, they could have probably, if they see that buoy, they can probably talk themselves into being like, oh, like these boats just came here. That's probably where they're, you know, where they're anchoring. And like,
yeah,
that's that just to keep the boat safe in a little cove. And there are buoys out. Like there, I mean, I know it was a red buoy, but it's not too crazy.
I didn't mind this, and I understand like you're saying, like the whole like idol hunt, scavenger hunt kind of thing. It's so old, like we don't really care anymore. But I did enjoy how this episode played out. I really do believe that production has been listening, and I'm not saying to us, but I mean like to Rob
overall, yeah,
and to Dalton. To Gordon, to the big people, the big players, Tyson, and this
not us
players. I'm not. I mean, maybe they listen to us every now and then, but like the players who are vocal, people are listening, and I think that it's showing in this episode. We get a schoolyard pick. Now they didn't show the schoolyard pick. I mean, you can't have everything, but you have.
That was so funny. I have some thoughts on this.
But so you have a schoolyard pick, you have this, they get rid of Mergatory, they go back to just one person being immune. Jeff came so close to just calling it a merge anyway. I like that the advantage here was simply that you get to advance to the next stage. I thought that was a good way to do something with the 13th person with the odd one out a little bit. I might prefer Genevieve sitting out, getting to take part in the feast and doing the challenge clean a little bit more than I prefer Erica or, oh my God, Roxroy smashing an hourglass. I might prefer it a little bit.
Just a little bit more.
Just yeah. A little. Which also, here's another starred comment here. Patrick Stahl, easiest Where's Waldo ever at that challenge. She's wearing the red and white shirt and everything. I mean, come on. That was just too good.
And everyone else is just covered in mud.
Covered. Amazing. What did you think about the way they did this? Divvy up into two teams of six. We have a schoolyard pick. First schoolyard pick since Survivor Gabon. Gabon was the last schoolyard pick. Gordon, I love following Gordon Holmes. He writes over at Xfinity. He's been doing it forever. He's pretty much the inspiration for the power rankings. Not pretty much. He is the inspiration for why we do the power rankings. He said, I was out there during Gabon when they did this, and it was such a disaster, and it led to such a disaster tribe that they stopped doing it. First schoolyard pick since then. How do you feel about that?
I appreciate the sentiment of addressing that we're not going to do it random. We're going to do a schoolyard pick. And it's almost like you can hear Jeff being like, we're listening. We hear you. to some of those people that you mentioned already. But the way it's so funny, the way this merge was set up is like the one you probably like random's probably the most okay because the tribes don't matter. I mean, obviously they get food, but this the decision making, the dilemma that the players have is pretty much non-existent. There is no dilemma. Pick the best player who can help you win the challenge. Whereas if you are doing a schoolyard pick for the prior format where you're splitting up into two tribes and one tribe will become immune, you might be more incentivized to just pick people that you know will vote with you so that even if you lose, you're going to have people voting with you or that you'll that people that you can work with. So there's just a little bit more thought to like, these people will be vulnerable or these people won't be. Maybe I want someone who's the target. Like if I want Rome gone, maybe I pick Rome and throw the challenge. I don't know. There's a lot more discussion and thought of like, what's the best pick? Whereas this is like pick the best tribe person. And then we didn't even see it. Like we didn't even get to see the schoolyard pick. We didn't get any confessionals about why I picked this person. I think a big part of that is like, it doesn't really matter because there's only one person winning immunity. So it's almost like, yes, I'm glad they're listening, but it's this schoolyard pick would be way more compelling if they had matched it with the other format. It's almost like we got the random draw and the schoolyard pick switched.
Andy says it was the last shown schoolyard pick at a tribe swap. I guess where this one's like a weird middle ground, right? Because they technically picked their teams.
But it's not, these aren't tribes, right?
Yeah, they're not tribes. So I guess, yeah, there's all the other ones that come up, but it's still okay. So Gabon, though, is still the last schoolyard pick they ever did for tribes. But still, why do you think they didn't show it?
I think it's the reasons I just stated.
Yeah, you think they just
because your confessionals based on what you're picking is one note right now. It's,
but also,
I want to get Sam on my team. But it doesn't matter. Like, I want to get Sam on my team so that I can win the challenge. And that I can have a chance at immunity and I can eat food. I'm starving. That's the one note. Whereas like even, and we don't know if they're splitting up next week, but like whenever they split into two groups, that's an absolute dynamite time to actually have a schoolyard pick. That's where it's like dilemmas, confessionals, weighing options, pressure moments. Like that's when you want to show it. But when everyone has the same reason for why they're choosing who they're choosing, it's not compelling. So they probably did interviews with it, did confessionals with it. They obviously filmed it when they were picking. They probably thought they'd air it, and then they go to cut it. It's like, wait, we just have everyone saying, I want the best person that challenges on my team? Oh, yeah, because that's all this is. It's a.
I mean, I just wonder like if the strategy came in at all where it was like, I'm going to pick Rome for my team so that I can vote Rome out of the game. Because that actually, with how obvious of a boot this episode was, I feel like that's
what
they would have shown.
But it's not like if your team wins, Rome's immune. That's the problem. It's that he then has a 1 in 7 shot to win individual immunity. So that's not compelling enough for me not to eat food.
Yeah, true. Well, so the way the teams broke out, Rome, Saul, Caroline, Gabe, Tiana, Andy, Sam, Kyle, Sierra, Rachel, Teeny, Sue. Blue dominates the first portion. Gabe and Rome suck at the challenge at the end.
I mean, I don't know if they dominated. I think they were up by a 2 minute lead. Maybe no, they both got to the wall at the same time. They got to the wall.
Yellow took a lot longer to get up that wall. I mean, it's a while between the two of them.
It's hard to know when watching the edit.
They were going back though. You could see that Blue was totally up the wall when Yellow hadn't even finished putting out all of the sandbags that they eventually have.
Yeah, I think we're talking like between like 2 and 3
I think it's probably close to 5 minutes. I mean, I think they probably had close to a 5 minute lead.
Maybe it's possible.
I just think, okay, so, but Rome goes in the hero position again. What's up? So Rome is on a team with Saul. How does Saul not say, no, Rome, you're not allowed to do this?
Maybe he tried and there was just no, like at this point, I feel like Saul's like, you know what? I've tried. I don't want to fight this guy anymore. It is what it is. I know. And then in the moment, he's like, can we swap? But it's like, I don't know, man. And I think at this point, you're like, you know, we probably know Rome's name is heavily out there as like the person to go home. And you want the food, but it's like, you're not going to do anything that's going to like let Saul know even more that like he might be the target. I don't know. I think at this point, it's like, you just got to let Rome be Rome, man.
Yeah. At this point, what are you going to do? And also, you have a 1-in-7 shot. So how much of a chance do you really have? Right.
Yeah. I mean, it's more like, it's not a puzzle. Like before, it was like a jigsaw puzzle.
Yeah.
This is like a different type of game. So you might even think, okay, if he's that bad at puzzles, then like maybe he's good at this type of game with a ball. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it was crazy to me when he was in the power position, or the hero position again, and just like it did not go well at all. But Gabe wasn't very good at it either. I mean, neither one of them had the touch. And on the other side, we see Sam and Kyle, and they dominate. And then we get to see Kyle win the first individual immunity of the season. Kyle had a really solid episode tonight. He wins individual immunity. He didn't have a vote, but people were coming to him. And I think the way he rebounded from the Rome situation of Rome really take, I mean, we see the edit, like we see the clip. Rome really took words that Kyle was saying and was using it to try to spread some seeds, but they were real words that Kyle said. And Kyle, I think, did a really good job of rebounding.
Yeah, no, Kyle did a great job. I think Rome was stretching in terms of like, exactly. Like it was more like Kyle, like Rome asking, what do you think of Tiana? And then he's like, oh yeah, Tiana's good. And then like, oh, do you think she's a, like, it seemed like Rome was just putting words into Kyle's mouth so that he could then spread them. And then Kyle was like, yeah, that's what happened. Like I wasn't going around tossing out my number one ally's name. Like that wouldn't make any sense. I think that's the part where Rome or Kyle was like, this is so easily refutable. Like Tiana is like the person I trust the most out here. So why would I say anything bad? Like it doesn't make sense. And then even Tiana's like, yeah, it doesn't feel right. Like that doesn't seem like something Kyle would actually do. And it was just kind of them shooting the shit on, you know, at the beach in the morning.
Yeah, exactly. And like Kyle said, I'm the most honest dumbass here. I just found this, so I just want to bring this up. Gordon, or I keep saying Gordon now. Dalton Ross put it out from Jeff's On Fire podcast. Sue was the next to last pick, and Andy was the last pick in the schoolyard pick.
Damn.
So Sue was picked before Andy. Andy was last. Interesting. But yeah, I feel like you're right. Like it feels like Kyle was just making conversation. And like if you're making conversation, you're going to have to talk about the other people who are playing the game. Who else are you going to talk about? And I just feel like Kyle rebounded nicely. I know that Sue is still saying, I want to get rid of Kyle. I want to get rid of Kyle. I want to get rid of Kyle. Sue is up shit's creek at this point. I mean, they are all looking for the pottery covered in paint, and it's clicking in Tiana and Caroline's head. This was an amazing scene.
It was great. And it's like, finally, someone has gotten caught red handed. Like that's been the goal of this little gag since it was first introduced in 42. And like this one, you know, with the pottery and making a mess, and the fact that they had this beach ready to go as the merge beach and they were going to put advantage somewhere, maybe that was even the back of their minds when they decided where to go, or, you know, when, like, which beach of the three should have the blood. It's like, let's put it at this one. Maybe someone will dig it up when looking for this advantage at the challenge, or for the challenge. So like,
yeah,
all very, very good. I mean, Caroline played this great, like goes up to Sue and it's like, I'm so proud of you for getting an idol. I know I'm not going to tell anybody. Like very, very savvy from Caroline. The past couple of weeks, she's really been on top of her game and she's not getting a lot of stuff, but everything she does seems to be very level headed and very calculated. So good on her. And then Tiana seems like she's put the pieces together, not the pottery pieces together, but put the pieces together.
They were trying.
Yeah. That Sue has found an idol from this blood.
And I do wonder what leg Tiana
I was will just have. Playing with the machete.
Just playing with the machete. I wonder what leg Tiana will have to stand on, because Tiana was really helped by Rome's existence tonight. Rome showing up made it so that Tiana took a back seat to being on people's radars like she was last week. It really seemed like last week was building for her being the you know, being in a bad situation this week. So now she rebounds nicely from that. I just don't know if she starts trying to throw this around, if how much people are going to listen and stuff like that. I have to think that Sue's going to be in a little bit of trouble here, though. You mentioned Caroline. From a confessional perspective, she does have the fewest confessionals on the season, but I couldn't agree with you more. It seems like what we're getting from Caroline has just been like dynamite. She has the right read on every single situation on this season so far.
Yeah. She's looking good.
She's looking good.
All right. But she's purple.
Everybody's purple. Logan D'Souza, just with the super like, no comment. I like that. I'll take those. Jayburn Aquatic says, I keep saying Saltini or Kyle are winning. What are you thinking after this week based on, you know, they always say the merge episode's a big one. What did you take away from this one?
I think I have a crazy winner pick.
No, I don't like your crazy ideas. I don't like where this is going.
I honestly think, I think Andy might win, dude.
No way. He doesn't get the votes at the end. How does he get the votes at the end?
I don't know. No one else is jumping out to me. Like, maybe Teeny is probably, like, front-running. Other than that, I really don't see us. There's not that. I think it's more there's not strong enough candidates for the winner. It's not like there's three or four that I'm like, okay, it's one of these people. Because I don't feel this that way about Saul, and I don't feel that way about Kyle. And so it like looks like Teeny is getting the best, but like you look at Andy and what he's been getting, I feel like there's just a strong case for him right now.
Colton Park, Andy's got the only clear narrative in my
opinion. That's kind of what it feels like.
To me, it feels like Teeny's in the driver's seat. And I really do believe that Teeny is playing a strong but passive game right now.
No, she's playing a great game.
And I think they're giving her a lot of content despite how passive she's been.
We do know a lot about her. She's very vocal. She's, you know, a narrator. She is the narrator from the Red Tribe. Mm-hmm. She's definitely up there. I just don't know if it's enough. And her position, where I feel like we might get some crazy combo final three, and it's like Andy has like the best pitch. Like he's like, I had a panic attack because I didn't fit in with my tribe at the first challenge, and I almost went home first because of it. But I played my ass off. I grew as a person. I made these moves. I blindsided Annika. Like he already has like the biggest blindside under his belt. Mm-hmm. I mean, no one can really take credit for the Rome blindside, and Annika's was
everybody even, was yeah
yeah. So you know, he's one of the three people that can take credit for the Annika blindside, and I just see like I see that he has an upward trajectory, and like I don't know, man. Especially at Tribal, he's like, was I the backup plan? That was like,
I did think that was interesting.
That was like, that was very, that was included for a reason. Like, he's going to have that thread of a storyline will continue next week. And guess who's the focus? That's an Andy focused story again.
I think with Andy, it feels more to me like the Emily Flippin, David Wright, like started off terrible, worked my way up, don't win. Somebody else just does it, and I fall just short.
Feels different than that, though.
I don't know.
He's not being built up like David Wright or Emily, and those people are built up and they fall. It's kind of like he's like gelling. He's like blending in, but it's still, you know, a point of focus. I don't know. It's weird because who else is like giving you winner vibes right now?
I could see Teeny.
We said that.
Sam.
Sam is not giving. I love Sam. I could
see Caroline.
Not giving me winner vibes. Caroline's not giving me winner vibes. I'd love to say Genevieve, but even Genevieve, we don't know enough about her, even though I think she's like badass and awesome.
I mean, Genevieve like, had another great episode. I mean,
she had a good episode, but it was so much about the buoy, and it wasn't about like, we didn't really hear from her about like what Rome going means to her. I mean, that's Rome's number one ally.
She was ready to boot him.
I know, but that it was very quick. I don't know. You think we'd get more from Genevieve, mm-hmm. you know, when she's voting out her number one ally for the pre-merge, if she goes on to win the game. I don't know. Maybe not. It's tricky. I mean, they keep you guessing. Maybe I could see a Genevieve win. I'm like rooting for Genevieve. She's like the person mm-hmm. I'm rooting for. Just haven't seen enough about, like, I don't know enough about her. So I don't know. There's very few people, Phil. Rachel, maybe?
Sarah, like, so again, I know you don't love when I talk confessionals, but I think it's important because since Erica's season, every winner has gotten a confessional in every episode since 41. And the people who haven't gotten one so far, Tiana, Kyle, Genevieve. Those are the only three people who haven't gotten a confessional in every episode out of the final 12. So like Sierra, Rachel, Saul, Caroline, like these people getting confessionals, getting content, when they're not integral and they're not huge personalities, that always screams something to me. That always tells me something about their longevity in the game. Because when you start to see a Gabler type who isn't one of the three or four biggest personalities on the season,
Andy,
not going to try.
That's your Gabler type.
No, Andy, the thing with Andy is Andy's such a big personality. You always say it. They're going to show certain things no matter what. Andy was going to get shown no matter what, everything he's done so far.
Uh-huh.
Like, you agree with that, don't you?
Yeah, no, I always call that. You were making a case for who, Ben last season? No, forget.
It wasn't Ben, because Ben had the weird edit. Ben has that weird edit of like,
no, oh, he was in, you know, yeah, so you were making this case. It was for Ben where you're like, we heard from Ben in every single episode. Yeah. Why do we keep hearing from Ben?
Because he made Final Three.
He made Final Three, didn't win.
Yeah. So that's where I'm starting to look at, like, again, like somebody like Gabe, it makes sense. Sue, it makes sense. Like Teeny, it makes sense. But somebody like Saul.
And Saul, Rachel, has been a pretty important character.
He wasn't early on.
I don't know. That Red Tribe with Rome, I mean, that's been such a...
I think what's interesting to me, and then we can get off this topic, is in episode number two, when TK went home, they gave us a Saul confessional, but not a Genevieve confessional, despite the fact that Genevieve was about to start to become the star of the show.
But I think they were hiding Genevieve intentionally to make that blindside more shocking. Mm-hmm. We talked about that. I think if that's her only omission, maybe she's not screwed, because I think she's that's what it that was a better episode, because it felt like Genevieve just was like a stealthy ninja sniper just taking out Keyshawn out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. Like just nowhere, and like that felt done, like that was done intentionally.
Yeah, I could see that. What was the rest of this twist? Did we miss anything else? They go to the feast, they get half the feast, only one person. Is it nice that there's only one person immune? Are you happy that we went back to one person being immune rather than half the tribe?
I honestly don't think so. I think you're going to get more exciting votes if half the people are immune, because they'll play a little bit more aggressively. I think people were so afraid to, and this happens at merges before the new era. Like when you merge with a big number of people and there's 12 other people and there's only one person immune. Also, what was this talk about? Like, this is the biggest, the most torches I've ever seen, the biggest tribe.
They
merged at 13 like a bunch of times.
Ghost Island, right? 13, didn't it?
I think every 20 person cast since season 30 has merged at 13, right? Like, didn't Millennials versus Gen X merge at 13?
Hey, I'm looking it up. A 13 think, person merge, Survivor Cambodia. Starts. Yeah,
there you go. That's a 20 person cast.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this has been, like, happening for a long time. I don't know why Jeff was...
David versus Goliath?
Yeah, no, it's the 20-person cast standard merge at 13 for a long... So in the 30s. And so I don't know why it was this crazy that this many people were vulnerable. We've seen this a number of times. And I think in a lot of those merges, when so many people... Yeah, here we go. Noah.
Yeah, thank you, Noah.
31, 33, 34, 36, 37, 38, 39, all merged at 13. So this is not at all new. It might be new for the new era. And of course, we're not technically merging until 12. But to have 12 people vulnerable out of 13 people at one tribal council is not some foreign concept. I'm actually surprised Jeff does not recall this. But I do think a lot of those votes, you would have unclear votes of why people voted the way they voted, and the main answer would be like, I heard a name, I just want to make through this vote, so we all dogpile on. Mm-hmm. And I think that tends to happen when you have this big of a group of people. I kind of prefer it when you have some people that are immune. Maybe it kind of is like, oh, there's fewer targets, that person gets to skate by, like maybe that doesn't feel as fair or as fun, but I do think it opens up the gameplay a little bit more.
Yeah, and I got the La Morena post up here. No, one person immunity is better. That's where my initial reaction goes, but you're making a good point for gameplay wise. Somebody had posted it, and I could go look them up right now, but the votes at this tribal council, like at the final 13 or final 12 or whatever it is, when they do the split vote, where half the people are safe and half aren't, they've actually been very interesting boots. like in terms of the votes.
Let's go through them. I mean, there's not a whole lot of strategy discussion to talk about and break down with Rome, and like it was such a clear vote. We talked about the challenge. So let's see.
Here's
which one provides more.
Okay. Sydney goes home 5-4-3 and plays her.
And that was the shot in the dark one. She and the knowledge is power travel council. Like that was a great one.
And if she doesn't play her shot in the dark, she stays in the game.
And Evie goes home.
Next one, Lydia goes home 6-2-2-1.
Okay.
Next one.
Four people getting votes. Yeah.
Yeah, that's always fun. The next one, Ellie goes home 7-2-1-1.
Four people five people getting votes.
That's four. 7-2-1-1.
Oh, that was 7-2-2-1-1.
Josh goes home 7-3-1. And Josh didn't have a vote. So that's when Carolyn voted for Kane. And then in 45, it was, oh my gosh, I got to keep scrolling. In 45, it was the 10-1 when the Caleb situation. So it's like, you know, that was just crazy.
Okay, that
was dogpiling.
Yeah, that was. That's fair. I mean, it's not that it can't happen when there's only six.
And then Mariah was a dogpile too, 10-1. So maybe it was just the fact that back-to-back seasons were dogpiles that made them say, we got to switch this up. Because the first four were chaotic.
But it's actually... this format is giving you a dogpile more likely than not, more so than the other format. Not that it can't happen in the other format. And then let's look at this, Phil.
You know,
let's go to 31, whatever that list.
And 39 gets dogpiled on. Or no, that's 37. Sorry, in 37.
Let's go in order. Let's do a Survivor 31. Survivor Second Chances. What's that one?
Oh, so I have to do it.
I'm going
to
look it up.
Okay, I thought you were looking.
Wait, was it Savage or was it Cass?
No, it's Cass. Cass was the first boot.
It was Cass. Okay, and what was that boot? I don't know. I don't have an efficient way of looking this up.
Hang on, I got it. Don't worry about it. I got it, everybody.
That was one. Okay, so that wasn't a dogpile. Okay, then that was a 12 person one. That was a one person immune. Okay, so that one, maybe there's nothing really to look at here, and every season is unique and doesn't matter if someone's, you know, how many.
And then you had, Michelle goes home 9-3 in it, Millennials versus Gen X. So that's feels
dogpile-y, yeah.
Yeah. Then Haley goes home 7-4-2. So it's not an official dogpile, but.
That's not an official one, no. I wouldn't say. 7-4 is enough of a. But I remember that Haley one, man. I still have no idea what was going on with that.
Jessica goes 7-5 over Chrissy.
That wasn't a 13 person merge though, because they start with 18 people.
Oh, that's right. We're only doing the ones. Okay.
The Ghost Island is the
Chris was dogpile 10-2.
Yeah.
That was an obvious one. Dave versus Goliath. This was the Elizabeth one, 12-1.
Yep.
Edge of Extinction.
Not a 12 person thing, I don't think. Because that's a weird one.
No, it is 6-3-2-2. Joe goes home.
Oh, not a dogpile.
Not a dogpile. And then Island of the Idols was the final one, and Island of the Idols was 8-5, Kelly goes home.
Middling there. I don't know if we've totally figured it out, but I think
I think you're
giving more people a chance to take riskier, boldier moves, whether that's good,
boldier.
Just for good TV. Yeah, more bold.
Yeah, there you go, boldier. I just boldier. Have to get you. You would correct me immediately if I said boldier.
I like the word boldier.
Bolder,
yeah, bolder. I guess.
Bolder, not moldier.
But like, bolder sounds like a rock. I don't want to say that.
No, but I think so. I do think initially I say I love that it's just one person who's safe. Also, though, maybe we do just need to merge at 12 or 11 and not have this, because when you do have this, a lot of times what happens is when there's only one person safe, is everybody just says, okay, please just don't be mean. I do think you tend to get more dogpile votes, or at least you are voting along whatever your previous, you know, alliance was. The 9-4 of Michelle, that might not look like a dogpile, but like 9 people voted for Michelle.
Right.
You know, that's still a lot of people. So yeah, I think that, but the fact is the last two seasons you get the dogpile votes, that's going to frustrate the production team. That's going to make them look at it and say, maybe this has run its course. Let's try something different. And honestly, this merge episode, or whatever you want to call it,
as it's a merge episode for sure
is so much more entertaining. It's more entertaining than 45 or 46, even with Caleb's play, because the shot in the dark play by Caleb was the whole episode.
Well, I think the shot in the dark play by Caleb was way more suspenseful and interesting than knowing who's going to go home for sure. At least Caleb had a shot in the dark. Rome did not even consider playing shot in the dark because he had no idea he was going home. But like, yeah, I don't know. I mean, these episodes, once in a while, they're funny and you can put them back. I don't know if a merge episode is the best.
This was a perfect person to do it with, in my opinion, though.
Well, they always have to be the perfect. I mean, you only do it with the over the top, you know, the Chris Nobles, the Drew Christies. Like, that's, those are the types of people you do it with.
Mm-hmm. No, you're right. You're right. So I didn't mind it. What else happened in this episode? I feel like we've covered so much. Did we miss anything else big? Should I just jump into other things?
I guess I'll say one thing we didn't talk about is the reaction from the Yellow Tribe after Annika's blindside. I think Rachel give her props for not flipping out and being mad and like, I'm going to get revenge. And like, she had that. And this is kind of the way we've been introduced to Rachel. It was not surprising that she played this off very well. And she's like, I get it, guys. We're playing Survivor. Don't apologize. Like, mm-hmm. playing a game. Like, that's the winning attitude for modern day Survivor. So props to Rachel for not like flipping out. Seems like she still has a lot of good relationships with everyone on her tribe. It's not like they're dying to get rid of Rachel or anything. It seems like she's doing a good job at making connections on the other tribe. So I think Rachel's doing well. Give her a shout out.
Yeah. I think that Rachel handled that as best she could have. I think she did. So yeah, I think Sue was the wrong way. Rachel was the right way. And Rachel's like, okay, I just got to get into the game. And now she's into the game. So, you know,
we did show,
that. Yeah.
I'm just making sure
We showed that. Don't worry. We showed that. Mm-hmm. All right, let's do some prop bet scoring real quick. Cause I think this is going to be funny for some people. Cause we all knew Rome was going to be a big personality. You could just tell when we were coming into the season. So he's not the winner. Did he cry? Do we have a physical tear here?
Oh, tonight?
Any night. I feel like he had crocodile tears tonight.
Oh, he did the fake tears.
They still count as tears.
Yeah, I don't know if we saw a physical tear. I mean, I could hear it. I could hear him getting choked up.
We got to get rid of this. This one's so hard.
Yeah, I think we've seen some. And didn't he cried at like a challenge, I want to say?
I think he did. I mean, the thing is, like, does Rome have any hydration in his body to cry? So we're going to count it. I'm going to count it. We're the official people. I'm counting. He got an immunity idol. He ended the season with, this is very important stuff here. He ended the season with, oh my God, dude. Scrolling is not my forte. With 9 votes because Rome does not count when he played his idol the one time. Dude, this guy is the ultimate right on the edge. He got 9 votes, so he doesn't hit 10.
Wait, don't we count votes negated by idols?
Oh, yeah, you're right. Because it's Wentworth does not count, does count. So he got 10. He got officially 10. He did not get 5 or less votes. He didn't win individual immunity. He didn't lose a vote. He hugged Jeff. He didn't make the jury. But then the other ones that are funny, he never got 10 confessionals in an episode, though he got 9 twice. And he never, he didn't hit 40 confessionals in the season. He hit 38.
But he did hug Jeff.
I know. He hugged Jeff. So that's the big one. And he had the title tonight. It was Feel the FOMO.
Hey. The title of the merge episode has been the winner the past 7
seasons. Let's get the science behind that, Will. Are you sure about that?
No, I've actually heard it's for all 47 seasons. That's true.
Yeah, exactly. That's in will.com. Mm-hmm. What else was there? I think we pretty much covered it. In terms of over-under game, we're finally starting to get some over-unders. There was no tribe swap, so that's an under. We'll have to figure out. We still have other stuff going on that we haven't gotten to. I don't think we're getting the backstory montage. We haven't had anybody. I mean, it's been crazy.
We've had a couple, right? We had Teeny and we had Kyle.
I think that's it. And then let's talk about Noah Salmon brings it up. Amulets. What do we think about the amulet? Well, Will started laughing as soon as the word showed up on screen. Will, what's up with the amulet?
I mean, I'm thinking about Rome's speech. I'm actually thinking about the way it maybe went down. I feel like the three probably came together and said, let's just burn these.
Yeah, for sure.
And then I don't think they were, then Rome probably, like, they probably told everybody. And then Rome is like, I want to explain it to everybody. But I don't know if, like, Rome was telling them that. Like, he wasn't giving them a lecture on what they should do with it or how it works. I think his speech was a reaction to learning about the other three deciding to do that. Mm-hmm. But I think this is the death of the amulet. I mean, it's for over. Sure.
It's over. There's no reason for the amulet to come back anymore.
And like, even Jeff's like, I put in a bad advantage. That was funny. Yeah. I mean, Rome did a fantastic job at explaining why it doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
You either have to vote people out with it that maybe you don't even want to vote out, or it makes you a target to two other people, which you don't want either. I mean, is there any merit? Can we defend the amulet at all, Phil? Like, what if you...
The amulet was fine. So the thing is, they made a change to the amulet, and I think they realized that the amulet wasn't really working because three people were never coming together to work together to use it. So then they said, okay, we're going to make it an idol. You're never going to see three people from three different tribes come together and use the amulet successfully to get somebody out of the game in a dramatic way. Like, how much fun was it tonight to be like, oh, we're all going to do this and we're going to play for Teeny. Haha. Like, okay, cool. Nobody, like, that wasted 15 seconds that we could have spent showing the schoolyard pick. Like, I don't know. I just feel like the amulet, there's nothing to it. There's no teeth. And last season we saw it, 45, we saw it with the sandwich thing. And Austin had to work his way through the game to get it. But it's still, even that, it was like the drama was around the fact that he didn't get his damn sandwich. And it's like, okay, like, we don't need it.
Right. Yeah. What to do with the amulet? I don't know. Probably nothing. Probably just send it packing.
Send it back. And that's okay. You can retire some twists without having to worry about it. Like, it's okay to say this one didn't work.
Yeah. Bring back knowledge is power. Because that one does work.
Or, as we talked about in the Patreon, just bring back fun shit. Like, I don't know, going on rewards where people play for their spot and how much they're going to eat. Like, let's do stuff like that. Like, we don't need this type of twist that has now worked zero times out of all the times they've used it.
Yes. And to be more clear on what you're referring to, it's the Guatemala... when their placement and challenge determines how good of a meal they get, and they all go to the same spot for a reward. And yeah, it's fantastic. And it's like, bring stuff like that back instead of amulets. Yeah.
Patrick Stahl, how many eggs could they get for the amulets? I mean, honestly, the amulets might've been less valuable than the chickens.
Still getting like a dozen eggs though.
The egg story certainly fell off, huh? That's that. Alan. Medallion of Power is going to come back. It's coming, Will.
I don't think that one's coming back.
You don't think so? You don't think they're just waiting since Nicaragua, the three episodes they had it?
It's like, so made fun of, you know? It just has a bad rap. Poor Medallion of Power.
Poor Medallion of Power. But yeah, that's really it. That's really all that's going on. So in terms of the schedule coming up, not really sure what's going to happen the rest of this week. Might be doing Digging Deeper, might be doing something else a little bit different. So follow on social media. Keep an eye over here. Make sure you got your notifications on over here on YouTube. There might be like a special episode or something coming. Not 100% sure what's going on yet, but Digging Deeper may be coming out, or it may be that. Don't know who my guest is for this weekend yet. It might just be Will. Might just be Blake. Like, who knows? Don't know who my guest is for this weekend yet. Struggling right now. As I had, Sabaya was originally scheduled for this week and then had to move up. So we're in a bit of a lull here on this one, but we'll see. And yeah, covering House of Villains, that's been fun, sort of. We get comments about people saying, why are you watching this if you hate it? I'm like, why are you watching me if you hate me? But anyway, Will, you worked on it. I don't hate it. I couldn't hate anything you ever did. That's not true, huh? Will doesn't agree. Anyway, become a patron, patreon.com/thespecialist. We're getting through Guatemala. I'm going to be doing my after show tomorrow. Friday, I will be recording my final episode for Australian Survivor 2018, and then I'll be jumping right into 2019, first Friday of February. or of November. What the hell am I talking about? Of November.
February. Dude,
2018 has a wild ending of Australian Survivor. That was a fun, terrible pre-merge. Probably one of the worst I've ever seen. And then the second half of the season is very entertaining, and it was really, really wild. Yeah, let's end on this note before we say goodbye. And I tell everybody to like the video, subscribe. Andy's German voting confessional. Why?
Ooh. Why not?
I agree.
I mean, I don't have any. I don't really have anything to say about it. I mean, Andy's voting confessionals. He's winning them so far.
So far,
winner. Tell me, Phil.
And here we go.
Andy's gonna win this season.
Logan D'Souza, has Sam eaten a pineapple since the feast? Breaking news: Sam is a pineapple guy. He is the green eggs and ham man.
That is good. Him to finally get a pineapple in there.
I don't know. Colton Park says, does Andy think Rome is in Germany? I don't think so. I just don't think he knew Italian. I think that's really all that came down to. Anyway, that's it. Thank you all so much for listening. Stay tuned. Follow us on social media so you can figure out when we're going to be live this weekend. And I'll see you guys next time.
See ya.